You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry about the rerun yesterday. Didn't really have much choice in that matter. I woke up sometime before dawn yesterday morning, got up to go to the bathroom, and almost fell on my butt. I've had a little ear infection for the past, week. And I guess it had progressed to the point where it was going to make me dizzy, and it did. And so the only thing to do was to go to bed and stay flat and don't move around. Every time I moved, if I moved my head from side to side, the room started spinning. If I got up and tried to go to the bathroom or go down to the kitchen or something, the house started turning upside down. It was incredible. And needless to say, I became extremely nauseous, and I hate nauseous. Literally, can't stand it. It's like I was seasick all day long, unless I just stayed perfectly still. So I got a lot of reading in. I was able to read with no problem. Going to the bathroom was a real experience. Going downstairs to take care of some things I had to take care of downstairs was another real experience. Talk about holding onto the wall. That was me. Well, I had to go downstairs in the morning to get some penicillin, which I had down here, and began taking the penicillin. It worked. Got up this morning and, had a little movement problems, but not much. And it's all over with now, except I still have a little problem with my ears, and a couple more days on penicillin should take care of that. But that's what happened yesterday. I didn't mean to cause so much problems for Pauline, because I didn't announce it on the international broadcast, but I did on the 101.1 station here in the Round Valley. I announced what the problem was and why I wasn't going to be able to do a broadcast. There's no way I could have sat here and done a broadcast with that motion sickness problem. It's motion sickness is what it is. And so Pauline got calls from just about everybody in the valley yesterday suggesting things to do so to help my my ears. But the penicillin is what I really needed, and that's what worked. So everything is fine now. I've already made a movie on the new Apple computer with Final Cut Pro. Already made a movie. I started out with about 3 hours of material, whittled it down to 1 hour, and that includes the lead-in and the color bars and the titles and all of that kind of stuff, and I roll the titles. It's really neat. It's a lot of fun. Some parts of it are kind of tedious and is hard work, but it's a lot of fun. And it's exactly what I like to do. I love to do creative things. So I made a movie. And it's a good movie. And the way I'm going to acquaint you with our new movie-making ability is we're going to give it away free. If you order two of anything that costs $10 or more from us, I'm going to give you this movie for free. I'm not going to tell you what it's about. I'm not going to tell you anything about it. But I guarantee you that you'll like it. If you don't, send me that movie back. that we're going to send you for free, and we'll give you your free back. That's the guarantee. I know, folks, you'll love it. You really will like it a lot. The quality is unbelievable. And I actually shot the footage in 1991. I shot the footage in 1991, and I've had it waiting to do something with it all this time. And I finally did. I made a movie. I took 3 hours of material, whittled it down to 1 hour. I made a really nice movie that you'll all really enjoy. It's entertaining. You will like it. You really will. And it'll relieve you of some of the tension. Or at least I hope that it will. Everybody who's seen it so far has been just absolutely astounded with the quality and the, with everything about it. They've just been absolutely blown away by what we've done with all of this equipment that we have now. And so we're on a roll now. We're going to be producing lots of good, top-notch, excellent quality video stuff that's just going to blow you away. And this is just the first, and we're going to give it away for free. So you buy two of anything that costs $10 a piece or more, you get this movie for free. That's our current thing right now. You buy two audio tapes of the broadcast that cost $10 or more, you get this movie for free. You buy two videotapes, or one videotape and one, I don't care what you buy. You buy a book, or two books, or whatever. Two of anything that costs $10 or more, you get the video, you get this movie that I just made for free. And I'm going to enjoy giving it away, I'm going to enjoy getting some feedback from you, because you're not going to believe what we're able to do here. The quality of it is just going to blow you away. You're going to be absolutely amazed. And you're going to love it. Now, remember, I shot it in 1991. I've had the footage laying around here since then. There's nothing wrong with the footage. It's not old. It doesn't look old. It's brilliant, beautiful color footage. And it's beautiful. And you will love it. Believe me. You really will, folks. You really, 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 really will. I promise you that. So, you know, figure out what it is you want to order. You'll get it for free. And then we're going to open the phones one night and find out what you think about it. And I'll bet you that I bet you're really going to like it. Yeah. know, people in the Round Valley here on 101.1 FM listen to that kind of music all day long with no commercial interruptions, nothing at all, just the very best of the very best music of all the generations gone by. And I love providing that service to everybody here. Actually, it's not me that provides it. It's the charitable trust set up by my children. Dear Mr. Cooper, I have been listening to your program on my shortwave radio for about a year now. I like your program. I have learned a lot and want to thank you for telling the truth. As an end result, I now have my own copy of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and I have read them. Oh, see, he knows the difference. A lot of people have copies of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. They never read them. But he says, and I have read them. Thanks to you, sir, I am rethinking my past perception of things going on around me. But if I may, I would like to ask four questions. Would you please jot down your answer in a piece of scratch paper? I have included a self-addressed stamped envelope. I will answer them on the air. I will not send them in a self-addressed envelope. You're getting a catalog in that, as a matter of fact. Number one. Is it possible to get proof of the non-ratification of the 16th Amendment and from whom? Oh, yes, it is. William Benson wrote a real thick book. And the book is full of the documentation, the actual proof, the certified copies of the documents from the several states that proves it was never, ever ratified. And the name of the book is The Law That Never Was by William Benson. The Law That Never Was by William Benson. And you need to get it and read it. You'll find out the 16th Amendment was never ratified and therefore is not law. Is not law. It's a scam. Number two, how does state income tax fit into the picture? Well, state income tax fits into the picture just like federal income tax. It is against the law to levy a direct tax upon the citizens. Absolutely unlawful. Now, if you're taxing an activity, for instance, the sale of alcohol, or say the importation of alcohol, because that's really where it fits. If you're taxing an activity like the importation of alcohol, both the federal government and the state government can levy a tax upon that importation of alcohol, and the way they can measure the tax is by the amount of income produced by the activity. And that's really what the income tax is all about on the federal level. So they measure the income, and they determine what the tax is on the activity, and it's an excise tax. And that's the truth. You cannot levy a direct tax upon the people. Even if the 16th Amendment had been ratified, the Supreme Court has ruled that it never gave the federal government any new powers of taxation. They've always had the power to levy a tax upon income. Always. The 16th Amendment was a scam to make you think that they had the power to levy a direct tax against the people. The truth is, they never have and never will. And can't get away with it. It just, you can't do that. Levying a tax upon the income of all of the citizens of all of the states is a direct tax. It's unconstitutional. Even if the 16th Amendment had been properly ratified, which it was not, it does not change, nor does it do away with, the prohibition against levying direct taxes against the people. So, that's how it fits in. Most state income taxes are piggybacked on the federal income tax. And, one depends upon the other. Number three, how would the government run if there were no income tax? Well, what do I care? It's none of my business. I'm a citizen of the state of Arizona and of California by birth. So, I don't care how the federal government funds itself. It just can't fund itself illegally, unlawfully, or unconstitutionally, which it's doing now. It cannot levy an income tax against the people. That's a direct tax. Got that? It's not my problem. It's the problem of Congress. However the Congress does it is okay with me as long as it's done lawfully and constitutionally. Right now, it's not. The whole thing is a scam. One of the biggest scams. That it's a. Well, I better not get started on that. Number four, would you please send me a tape list? One is on the way, my friend. And he says, thank you again, Mr. Cooper. And it's S.H., and I won't read his last name, just to maintain his, I don't know, whatever it is. Dear Mr. Cooper, enclosed is a copy of my pamphlet that I am using to warn Americans of the agenda behind the national debt. Your shortwave program inspired me to do something, and so I have purchased a pill trust with $1,000 with you as my sponsor. I just wanted to let you know that you have made an impact on my life and have helped me to change and to act on the truth. Even if no one requests the report, I hope they will at least make 10 copies of the pamphlet and pass it on. We could cover America in 9 days. A faithful listener, and now doer, signed Doug. Thank you, Doug. You know, I really don't care about listeners. I don't care when they measure the effectiveness of a radio broadcast. I don't care about any of that stuff. What I care about is doers, people who care, people who are affected by this broadcast, people who get up off their lazy ass and do something. Thank you, Doug, for being one of those people. And by the way, his pamphlet is really good, folks. It really is. It's We the People, Exposing the Agenda Behind the $25 trillion National Debt, the Foreclosure of America. Copy this pamphlet and pass it to 10 others. And he has a lot of stuff in here about the Federal Reserve, bankrupt nation, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's really, really good. If everybody would make 10 copies, and he has on the back, has a lot of references. Shortwave, he has a Newswatch magazine, Hour of the Time, American Sovereign, Internet, he has a lot of Internet URLs, references here, books, he has a lot of books listed here as references, including mine, Behold a Pale Horse, and some magazines, newspapers, and newsletters. So thank you, Doug. That's great. I'm very happy that you're doing something. And now you got to hear this, folks. This is absolutely incredible. Here's a student. It's just a regular student in school. His teacher gives him an assignment. She wants him and all the other students, each one of them, to write a horror story about being home alone, and it was for Halloween. Here's what the teacher asked them to write. A horror story about being home alone, a horror story, and they were to write it for Halloween. You'll never guess what happened to this student because he did what he was instructed to do. This is Ponder, Texas, Associated Press. And this is from the Worcester, Massachusetts Telegram and Gazette for Thursday, November 4th, 1999. Once again, this article is from page A9. That's page A9 of the Worcester, Massachusetts Telegram and Gazette, Thursday, November 4th, 1999. And this actually happened in Ponder, Texas. And this is an Associated Press article. 13-year-old Christopher Beeman's scary Halloween essay earned him extra credit and 5 days in jail. Can you imagine this, folks? The seventh grader was arrested last week for writing a story about shooting two classmates and a teacher. He was released from a juvenile detention center Tuesday. It seems like a year ago, a big old long year, Christopher said. I was supposed to write a horror story. I don't think I did anything wrong. The student said his class was assigned by teacher Amanda Henry to write a horror story about being home alone and hearing noises. The teacher gave Christopher extra credit for volunteering to read his essay in class last Wednesday. The boy was picked up at school by sheriff's deputies the next day after a call from Ponder High officials. Parents had complained about the essay, which was written in the first person with several misspellings and included a passage in which the writer accidentally shot Miss Henry. Listen, accidentally shot Mrs. Henry. Juvenile court judge Darlene Whitten reviewed Christopher's school disciplinary records and ordered him held for 10 days, school officials said. He was released early after the family's lawyers demanded his freedom and Denton County prosecutors dropped the case. Prosecutors did not return calls for comment on what charges they had considered bringing, and the boy's disciplinary records were not disclosed. Can you imagine this? The boy wrote, he was assigned to write a horror story about being home alone on Halloween. A horror story. So he wrote a horror story. Didn't take place at school. He wasn't skilled at killing people at school. He was home alone, and he got scared, and there were these noises and stuff and weird things going on. And he and his friend were there, and they defended themselves against this horror, and accidentally shot Mrs. Henry. And folks, what is this country coming to? They threw this poor child in jail for 5 days. They were going to keep him there for 10 days. And the prosecutor was thinking of bringing some kind of serious charges against this boy. This is insanity. Listen to me, you stupid teachers. If you don't want a student to write about killing somebody, don't assign them to write a stupid horror story, you dumb jerks. My God, what is this world coming to? I read another story, and I don't have it here in front of me, but it was about this young child, 11 years old. He's 11 years old, who was thrown in jail for improperly touching his sister. Now, when I was a boy, we called that experimentation, learning, trying to learn about the opposite sex. We played doctor and all kinds of stuff, and the goal was to try to get, you know, your sister or one of her friends or somebody to you know, show you what they look like, because you didn't know. And there wasn't all these books and magazines around today that you could have looked in. They just didn't exist. And this has gone on since the beginning of time, since children have discovered that, you know, girls are different than boys and boys are different than girls. And I remember when I was in about the, first, second, third, the third or fourth grade, we had a family come over and visit us. And there was a precocious little girl in this family. And I remember I was in the third or fourth grade. She actually came up to me when we were alone playing together and said that she would show me hers if I would show her mine. And so we went in the bathroom and we did. I showed her mine and she showed me hers, and that was the end of it. It was quite an experience. Now, today, that's called sexual deviation and sexual molestation. And this poor 11-year-old boy who, this is unbelievable. I find this very hard to fathom, that there are really people out there who think this 11-year-old boy did something wrong simply because he and his sister were, you know, doing that. I'll show me yours if you'll show me mine. And supposedly he improperly touched his sister. My God, if all of us who were in jail for so-called improperly touching our sister, I bet you that 90% of the nation would be in prison and would have always been in prison, because that's what's always happened. That's how children find out about sex. There's nothing improper about it. The only thing that's improper is the embarrassment and the terrible tragedy that's going to follow this boy around, and his sister, by the way, going to follow them both around for quite a few years. What do you think is going to go on at their school? Nanner, 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 you let your brother touch you. Nanner, 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 you're a stinking slut. And some kind of crap like that. You know how children are. That's exactly what it's going to be. And the poor boy, oh, now he's a sex offender. Can you believe that? Well, I can't. I'm going to open the phones and let's find out. What do you think about this? This is absolutely incredible. I'm just blown away by this. This is not good. 520-333-4578 is the number. We'll take your calls for the rest of the hour. How did you learn about sex? If you've got the guts to talk about it on the radio, I've already told you some of my little experiences as a child. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Okay.
I saved the newspaper article. There was a girl, a high school girl in Lakeland, Florida. This happened approximately 6 months ago. She was in this program where, you know, kids could go out and do an elective where they'd sort of work at a business, you know, and get experience, that sort of thing. That was the, quote, class, unquote, and, you know, that's what she would do.
Okay.
And I don't know what it was. I think it was a carpet place or a furniture place or something, but they had, you know, she was about 17, and I think, in fact, it might have been at a place where her mom worked. I don't know. But somebody had a birthday or this, that, or the other thing, or it was their 10th anniversary in business or something. And they had a little soiree or social, and sangria was being served. So
sangria has, of course, alcohol in it.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Well, to make a long story short, this girl, you know, was expelled from school for taking a small glass of sangria, you know, for taking a small glass of sangria rather than, you know, be a party pooper with these adults with whom she was working.
At a workplace?
Yeah, and it wasn't at the school, and it had, you know, the blessing of her parents. And they expelled the girl, and this NEA principal type was quoted as saying, drugs and alcohol, they kill. We don't make any, drugs, alcohol, and guns. That was the quote, they kill. We have zero tolerance.
Now, wait a minute. Her parents were there?
Pardon?
Her parents were there?
Yeah.
I don't know any state anywhere where you can't have a glass of alcohol, wine, or whatever it is in the presence of your parents.
I'm not sure if I'm not really sure if the parents were present, but these were adults that she was with. She was 17 years old. She was off the campus. She wasn't at the school.
And she just took a drink.
And it was okay by her. You know, it was okay by her mom.
Yeah.
Her mom knew of this.
Okay.
And, but the school expelled her.
Yeah, well, this is terrible. I mean, these people today, I don't know, where do they come from? How did they grow up? What are they, perfect or something? My
but,
God.
You know, a 17-year-old kid taking a small glass of sangria, you're going to expel her from school and poison her record.
Oh, my God. If they followed all the students of that school around, she was obviously in high school being 17. If they followed all, you know, anybody who is an official at any high school has to know that at least 50% of the student body is drinking alcohol.
Of course.
At some time during the day or night.
But, you know, this just goes to show what happens when you give a moron power, what they do with it.
Boy, you can say that again. They are morons.
This poor kid, well, you know, what she ought to do is just say, you know, to hell with the whole thing anyway and, you know, finish high school at a community college, which is probably a better place to be than most of these NEA high schools. She was evidently, an intelligent kid, one of the better academic kids, was going to university and the whole shot. But, you know, they just train wrecked her life over this, and they obviously didn't give a damn.
Yeah. How'd you find out about sex?
Oh, it was in a newspaper up in Wisconsin. It made the paper up here in Wisconsin.
Sex?
Pardon?
You didn't even hear what I said, did you? How did you personally find out about sex?
Well,
when's the first time you ever saw a girl with no clothes on?
I don't know. You know, it's probably...
Oh, come on. Don't give me that. I don't know. Nope, nobody ever forgets.
That's a kindergarten.
Kindergarten. Okay.
Yeah.
And you were what? Playing Show Me Yours and I'll Show You Mine or something like that?
No, it was like I was walking by the girls' room and one of them on a dare. One of them on a dare. The door swung open and one of them on a dare sort of stepped around the corner and pulled up her dress or something.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's what used to go on. Does that make her a sexual deviant?
Should that girl have a criminal record or be in jail or something?
Yeah. Well, according to these people, she should be in prison. Prison. I mean, that's sexual deviant. prison. I mean, that's sexual deviation. Thanks a lot for your call.
Yeah, sure thing. Bye now.
520-333-4578. What do you think about this? How did you first find out about things? And you know, should you be marked for life because of it? Good God, what is going on in this country? 520-333-4578. And, you know, I'd like to get, oh, gee, I wish I could go down and get Lula up here. She's 87 years old. I bet she could tell some stories, if she would. But you got to remember, she was taught that you never discuss things like that. Ever, 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 ever. Even if they did have 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening, you're on the air. Hello? Hello? Speak up now or forever hold your peace. Well, folks, it's a chicken plucker. Good night, chicken plucker. 520-333-4578 is the number. Let's see how many brave people we've got that are willing to speak up about these issues. I mean, I don't know of anybody. You know, my proposition to begin with is nobody's innocent. You get these prudes that, oh, I never did that. I never did this. I never did that. I never did this. I was always the good. I never, you know, bullshit. That's a liar. When people tell me that, I don't know, I'm looking at a liar right in the eyes. It's the truth. Nobody's perfect. And in my opinion, nobody's innocent. Nobody. Everybody has skeletons they're hiding in their closet. They don't want anybody to know about. And some of them are just exactly what we're talking about tonight. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. This is Sob Choppy Dave.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. The question tonight is, how did I first learn about sex?
Well, first, what do you think about what they're doing to these children? And then second is, how did you first find out about it?
Well, what they're doing to these children down here are bad. Because they already, they're telling them guns are bad. And you mentioned that there's no state that allows, has a law against their parents giving them a can of beer or a glass of wine.
In the presence of the parents. I don't think there is. I've never seen one.
They're busting right down here in McCullough County.
Yeah, but what does the state law say? Does the state law say that it's okay for
it's
the...
It's against the law.
It's against the law for
the state of Florida.
A child to have a beer with their parents in their living room?
Right.
Well, that's the first time I've ever heard about that.
Yeah, my parents, you know, would give me a glass of wine, and I don't see how they can outlaw it. If they go to a Roman Catholic church, they give them a sip of wine at Holy Communion.
Uh-oh. Hey, we better arrest the priest. I mean, we better stop that right now.
Yeah, that's
we better stop that. Those are criminals. They're giving children wine. Yeah, we got to stop it.
Should have a raiding party of jackbooted thugs right now.
Yeah, everybody go to a Catholic church this Sunday, and if the priest is giving the children wine, call the police.
Right.
Call the police. Well, we'll get this in front of the public real quick. I mean, real quick. You know, part of my upbringing was in foreign countries, and we lived, for instance, in the Azores Islands, which are islands owned by Portugal, and everybody there drinks wine. I mean, you couldn't get a glass of water if you wanted to, and when we went to visit someone, you sat down, and they took you in this immaculate sitting room that they kept absolutely immaculate just for guests. Then they would bring out this tray, and everybody would have a glass of wine. And if you didn't drink wine, you didn't drink anything.
Yeah, right.
And, because that's all they had. That's all you got. And they never served water, ever, ever.
Right.
And so how did you find out about sex, Dave?
Well,
What little girl corrupted your mind?
The little girl was always my little girlfriend. I was about in second grade. My brother's 12 years older than me, so he was gone and married.
Yeah.
I didn't know the difference between boy or girl. Heard some...
Well, nobody ever does until somebody shows you.
Right. So this little, smart, intelligent girl who I liked, was her father worked for Grumman Aircraft and would build neat toys for us, you know. And here's a little retarded girl, and she tells her to pull up her dress, and she has no underwear. And I said to Diane, I said, where's her wee-wee? And then what happened, I went home, and I asked my mother, Diane told this little girl to pull up her dress, and she don't have a wee-wee.
So what did your mom say?
My mom got on the phone to her mom, and I didn't see her for 2 weeks. She doesn't like it.
Oh, you were the victim of a sexual deviant.
Yeah, second grade, too. I was molested by a little girl.
Well, you see, I had to wait a few grades later. It didn't happen to me until about third or fourth grade, but so you were lucky.
Right. I've got to thank you for that video you sent. I haven't been able to watch it, but I want to tell you that everything I've done was worth it with that audio tape about John F. Kennedy Jr.
Uh-huh.
I made some copies, and I dropped them off here in Soft Choppy, like to the girls at work after school in the local grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, everybody starts waving at me.
Well, good.
I even had a deputy sheriff wave at me.
Well, see, you're becoming famous now. The man who knows too much.
The man? That's why I think the sheriff is scared of me. Because I can listen to his cellular calls.
I don't think he's scared of you. He probably likes you. Or he wouldn't wave at you.
He hates me.
Really? Well, why is he waving at you then?
No, he didn't. One of his
deputies. Oh, his deputy. Okay.
His deputies hate him.
Oh.
They just get enough time to get certified for other areas of the country, and they quit.
Yeah. Well, around here, they all like me except for the chief Nazi, Chief Garms, who's the eager chief, police chief. And I nail him for being a Nazi every time I can. All the rest of the police officers and the sheriff deputies and the DPS people, all great people around here. The only one that isn't is old Garms. We're going to get rid of him one of these days by hook or crook.
Traveler?
Well, I don't know what he is, but he certainly is a blackmailer and what we call that when everybody in the city is related.
Right.
Yeah, well, the mayor is his wife's mother.
And
when the mayor was going to come up and meet with me, he blackmailed her and said she'd never see her family again if she came up here and talked to me. Nepotism, that's what it is, nepotism.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, well,
that's what we have in Wakulla County. We've got six families. You go down to the courthouse, and everybody's got a relative who's an officer of the court, and God help you if you get thrown in front of the judge. You're hung anyway.
Well, God help you if you get thrown in front of damn near any judge in this country today, because none of them really know or understand the law. They understand what they think they understand, and that they don't know a damn thing about the Constitution, not even of their state anymore.
Right.
Listen, I got to let somebody else in here, Dave. Thanks a lot for calling.
Okay. God bless you, Bill.
You too. That's Dave from Sop Choppy, Florida. Good man. 520-333-4578 is the number. The number for tonight. And, well, let's hear from some women. Gee, how did you find out about sex? Got some guts? Come on, get on the phone, let us know. Don't be out there hanging out, waiting for somebody else to do it, you know, because we all know how you did it anyway. Everybody knows, because it's what everybody does. All children are basically the same. And if you're going to, I'll get a letter from somebody. My children never did anything like that. Bullshit. You just didn't see them. You just didn't see them. You weren't there when they did it. But I guarantee you, they did it. Yes, they did. And they didn't do anything wrong. There's nothing wrong with it. It's normal. It's normal curiosity of children to want to know what's going on. And how come I get to wear pants and she never has to wear pants? You know? Sometimes little boys want to know that. Be nice to run around with nothing around your legs sometimes when you're a little boy. Not that you want to dress up like a little girl. Just, would feel good. That's why they invented shorts. some little boys got to wear shorts. I never did. My mom wouldn't let me wear shorts. I had to wear long pants all the time. When I went to, there's a lot of things that children do that adults never know about. And you think, oh, my Johnny would never do that. My Susie would never do that. Oh, yes, they would. And yes, they do. They do. They do. They do. They do. And it doesn't make them bad children at all. It just makes them children. That's all. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
Pleasure to hear the show tonight. Sounds good.
Well, thank you.
Interesting subject.
Yes, it is. Nobody talks about it too much, but it is an interesting subject.
Absolutely.
Should be talked about more all across the country. Should be talked about on the Rush Limbaugh show, actually.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but you'll never hear it there.
No, you won't. People don't want to tell their deep, dark secrets.
No, they all want you to think that they're not like you, that they're better. I never did any of those things. Bullshit.
I agree. It's
if you could find their classmates, boy, they could tell you a tale or two, I bet you.
Yeah, they have a lot more than you think.
So what's on your mind? What do you think about all this stuff?
Not sick, just like the rest of everything else going on. It's just the path that we're seeing, the trends, everything is straight in line. It follows the pursuit of all the other insanity that's taking place.
It's like the blueprint of the Soviet Marxists. You know, when the KGB governed life in the Soviet Union, if you didn't fit a little mold, I mean, you were arrested because you weren't the state's idea of the perfect little socialist.
Exactly.
The Soviet citizen, as they called it.
Yeah, see, it's a blueprint. Could we go for a little humor?
Well, it depends on what the humor is.
Well, it's not going to be bad.
Well, go for it then.
All right. Well, listen, we used to have a little girl next door, and you know how those things happen. And she was going to show me her deals, and I was going to show her mine. And I said, I had two of these, and she says, I got two of these. And kind of looked, and she says, I got one of these. And I says, well, I got one of these and two of these. Well, she went home crying to her mother. And her mom had a good talk with her and said, well, don't worry about it, sweetie pie. She says, with one of these, you can get all those that you want.
Well, that's pretty funny.
Anyway, those are the type of things that we grew up with. Those are the
And she was, of course, talking about her big toe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Bill, you have a wonderful evening. I appreciate
you should.
The show.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, bye.
520-333-4578 is the number. 520-333-4578. What do you think about it? What do you think about what they're doing to children who have a normal outlook on sex and are just curious? They're being stigmatized. I mean, they're really coming down on some of these children. One little girl went to school with some aspirin because she had migraine headaches. And guess what? She was thrown out of school for using drugs, expelled, and was not allowed back in because they considered aspirin to be drugs. They're not even allowed to have aspirin in their purse. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill.
Hey.
Yeah, I can remember when I was a kid and that happened.
Yeah.
And I called it my hot dog. I said I'd show you my hot dog if you show me your hamburger.
Hamburger. Well, that's a new one.
Yeah.
Okay. And did she?
But, you know, it was all innocence.
Well, sure. But did she? Did she show you?
Yeah.
Well, of course. And every boy found some girl, and every girl found some boy. And it wasn't just boys doing this. Believe me. It was a little girl who asked me first at my house. When she was visiting, I was in third or fourth grade. I can't remember exactly which. She had red hair. She was a pretty little girl. And she was a nice little girl. And, you know, first, I really didn't know what the hell she was talking about. But I found out real quick. And no, there was no hanky-panky. We just looked, and that was all. I mean, and we went on about our business and played until her parents got ready to leave. And, you know.
A lot of this, there's friends of the family, grew up with them. They were like cousins. And my sister was there, actually, too.
Today, you'd be a sexual deviant.
Yeah, that's hard to believe.
And if somebody saw it and turned you in, the local prosecutor would have you arrested, and before you know it, you'd be in big trouble.
You know, I'm wondering, though, where do these people get their morality? I mean...
I have no idea. I don't know where they get their common... They don't have any common sense. How can they have morality? I mean, you can't have morality if you don't have common sense.
Well, what they're doing is they're taking people that are innocent and calling them criminals.
Yeah.
And the people that commit the crimes, they say they're psychologically...
Yeah, they say they're innocent.
Yeah.
They're victims of the society which molded their criminality.
Exactly.
Oh, give me a friggin' break. I mean, just, whoa. Can't stand it.
Yeah, that happened to me in high school at one time, too. Me and my kids were just...
Children.
Sure.
Kids are goats.
And we went rolling a house.
Remember, you raise kids, you rear children.
Yeah.
Kids are goats. Children, and, of course, are little human beings. Go ahead.
And, you know, I was always a good kid growing up, and... You know, we rolled the teacher's house, and they wanted to make an example out of us. And, you know, were threatening to expel us out of school, stuff like that. And, yeah, I just don't understand, you know, all the other kids go out, drink, they do drugs, and then here's somebody doing a simple little prank, and, you know, they want to expel you out of school.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? But it wasn't even a prank. This guy his teacher assigned him to write a horror story about being home alone. Now, what's a horror story? It's where you have something gets scary and you try to protect yourself and you kill somebody and they're trying to kill you and you're chopping off heads. That's a horror story. That's all he did. He wrote a horror story and he wrote about it being at home. He didn't write about going to school and killing anybody. He wrote about being at home on Halloween, and he wrote a horror story. And his teacher gave him extra credit to read his horror story in front of the class because she thought it was better than the other horror stories. And then the children went home and told their parents. The parents called the local police. The police called the prosecutor. The prosecutor went to the school and arrested this child.
Did you see the guy on TV?
Which guy?
The guy you're talking about.
No. No.
He was, you know, the most innocent looking kid. You know? I mean, he didn't look like he'd harm anybody, you know?
Well, he probably wouldn't. He was just doing what his teacher told him to do.
Right.
His teacher told him to write this story. I mean, if your teacher told you to write a horror story, would you write about making cookies? Huh? No. And what's a horror story? Well, it's what you see in the movies. And he's going to, you know, any child is going to write a horror story like they know a horror story to be. Even when I was a child, a horror story was like the Headless Horseman, Ichabod Crane, and, you know, the Headless Horseman. And the Headless Horseman would take off his head and throw it and kill you. I mean, those were spooky, scary stories. Now, if you wrote about something like that, oh, man, you might get arrested and go to jail. This is terrible. Okay, thanks for calling.
All right, Bill.
Appreciate it. 520-333-4567. Still haven't heard from any women, you chicken pluckers. No brave women out there? No guts? Come on. You've all had the same experience as we had. You know, it was a little girl that showed me. It was a little girl that suggested it. Don't sit there and play prim and proper tonight. You can't get away with it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. This is Bill from North Carolina.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, I wanted to check in with you. I didn't hear everything that you had commented about on this particular story with the story. But Rush Limbaugh did comment on that one day. I was listening to his broadcast, and there's a second side to the travesty involved here in that the boy made an A-plus on that story that he had written.
Yeah, he also got extra credit for reading it in front of the class.
Yeah, well, it turns out that it was full of misspellings and run-on sentences, literally sentences that were about a paragraph long, so...
Yes, it was, but in school today, they don't grade you for English spelling or correct English or anything like that. They grade you for getting the concept right. I mean, these teachers are sickening. They're not teachers. Yeah. I don't even know how they can call themselves teachers. And if I turned in a paper in geometry class where I got the absolute geometric theory perfect and knew the mathematical formula and all of that kind of stuff, absolutely perfect, I would still get counted off and get my grade lowered if I used misspelled words or bad English.
I know, personally, I was never that strong in mathematics when I was in high school.
Well, I wasn't either. My poorest subject, to tell you the truth.
I'll tell you what, though. I had an instructor when I was in college. I took an applied trigonometry class, and he would never let us use a calculator in that class for anything. And as a result, I had a 99 average in that class because I had to literally memorize and learn how to put things together.
Sure.
And as a result of that,
let's be realistic. How can you learn calculus if you learn it on a calculator?
No, you can't.
You can't. You have to be able to compute it in your head, or you can't learn it. All you're learning is how to operate a calculator.
That's right. And it makes it so much more enjoyable when you know it. You can apply it. And that's exactly what I've done throughout my life. I've learned to use that trigonometry to my own advantage.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling. I want to try and see if there's any brave women out. So far, we haven't had one woman caller. Can't believe it. 520-333-4577. Any women out there got any guts? I know some women out there listening to this broadcast that do have some guts. Why aren't you calling? Do you only have guts about certain things? Or, you know, when we're talking about something else, do you get real prudish on us all of a sudden? Is this, you know, something that just really gets to you? Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, I may be one of the first women that called.
All right, thank God.
About an experience.
Okay.
Me and my younger brother, this closest to me, were in bed one night, and I wanted to know what he looked like and felt like.
Uh-huh.
So I checked him out real good,
and
he never woke up, and I never told my mother or my dad.
And there was nothing wrong with it.
There was nothing wrong with it, and I never did molest any other children. Or bother any other children in any way.
And you weren't a sexual deviant or anything. You were just curious, and so you exercised your curiosity, and you found out what nobody would tell you or show you.
That's right.
Well, thank God for you.
Okay.
You have saved womanhood by this call, by the way.
Am I the first one?
You're the first one. You're the only one.
The only one.
What do you think about what they're doing to all these children around?
Well, I think it's terrible about that boy that wrote that horror story. I used to write stories when I was younger about women having babies, and one teacher took offense to it and took it to another teacher and said, well, I guess she's going to be a writer someday.
Well, that's pretty good. You've got a good teacher there.
Yeah. So that's what happened to me. I've been in trouble different times for curiosity.
Oh, we all have. By golly. You know, but that's being human. Why are we trying to get rid of our humanity?
I just don't know. I mean, things are really strange these days.
Boy, you can say that again. They really are. They're more than strange. It's bewildering.
Yes, it really is.
How many divorces do you think have happened over the years because of the women's lib music, women's lib movement, and people's inability to understand what was happening because of the way they were taught when they grew up?
I don't know, but I've heard at one time there was one out of every four couples got a divorce.
How many of those divorced couples do you think regretted it at some time later in their life?
Well, I just don't know. I really don't know.
I don't either, but I've often wondered about that because they were taught certain things growing up, and then all of a sudden they reached a certain age, and that was all, they were taught that it was all bad and all wrong.
That's right.
I can remember inviting girls out on dates. And I'd take one girl out on a date, I'd open the door for her, and she would be so appreciative and so nice to me. And I would take another girl out on a date, and I'd open the door for her, and she would chew me out, call me a male chauvinist pig and all kinds of stuff. And, for a while, I was confused. And I know a lot of other men were confused, and I would venture to say, I don't know this for a fact, because I can't.
Yeah.
But I would venture to say a lot of women were probably confused during that period of time, too.
Well, some of them thought that when you held the door open that you were making a forward pass at them or something. You know, or just...
Forward pass? She was on a date with me.
Yeah.
We were going out to eat. I opened the door because I was taught that that's what you did for a lady.
Yeah. But some people mistook it as a...
Obviously. They should let me know about it. I guarantee you.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that happened to me one time. I was out in the backyard, and I was telling some other kids, I'll be glad when our baby comes because I was going to get a little brother.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother called me in the house, and she made me stay in my room because I said such a thing.
That you'd be glad when your baby comes?
Yeah, because I mentioned the fact that people have babies.
Oh, my goodness.
And another aunt told me that
Where did she think they came from?
I don't know, but she got on to me because I even mentioned it to other children that I would be glad when our baby came.
Well, the next day, you know, you could go out and say, boy, I'll be glad when the babies drop out of the sky and that and maybe we'll get one.
And
then I guess they would have left you alone, huh?
I mentioned pregnancy to an aunt one time, and she said, don't mention it, like it was a real deep, dark secret.
I know. Oh, well, thank you so much for calling. You rescued womanhood tonight.
I sure did.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, that's it, folks. I mean, that's it for tonight. And so we're going to hang it up, and we'll see you again here tomorrow night. I don't know what we're going to talk about, but we'll talk about something. And remember, if you order two of anything that we have that costs $10 or more a piece, you get a free movie. It's the movie I just made. You'll love it. I guarantee you, you will really like it. You're going to be blown away with the quality, and it's in fantastic stereo sound. You find out, you know, make the order and find out. And that's from, you know, for the next 30 days. We'll make it for the next 30 days. If you order anything from us, two of anything from us that costs $10 or more, you'll get this movie free. Good night, folks. God bless you. Good night, Annie, Pooh, Allison. God bless you. I love you. I miss you. You'll never know how much I miss you.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let you love all I thought it was fine. You came along and you knew me, honey. I've been a mind, this world is fine. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Kisses me, baby. Feel good. Hold me, baby. Well, I want to love you like I love you should. You're fine. So kind. I can tell this world that you're mine. I shoot my nails down and I twist on my thumb. I'm real on earth, but it's so ill as fun. Come on, baby. It drives me crazy. It's just great balls of fire. Hold me, baby. Well, I want to love you like I love you should. You're fine, so kind. You tell this world that you're mine. Ain't you like I feel like I swing on my thumb. Real medical, but it sure is fun. Come on, baby. I'm crazy. But this race is straight ball to fire. Get me a gal. Then I go out on the town.